Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to God's Resurrection Public Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callen. I'm your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that is teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of this sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are excited, and we are delighted that he has chosen us this morning to be here in the land of the living, that he allowed us to enter in this morning. We are grateful. He didn't have to bring us in, but he brought us in anyway. But we are here, and we are thanking him this morning for this opportunity. Today we're going to minister about the subject matter. You got what it takes. This is what we're going to be talking about this morning. So we bless him. We're going to go into worship and see what we find this morning. New worship tape. New worship CD we're going to put in here.
Your glory, honor, and praise.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. We give him praise. We give him praise. We give him praise. Hosanna in the highest. He is worthy to be praised. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we glorify your name. We honor you, God, for this day, for truly this is the day that you have made. And we are already rejoicing, and we are exalting your name. Lord, we live to praise you. We live to glorify your name. We live to honor you, Jesus. And we ask you, O Lord, to bless us to preach, to teach your word today, that we might get a clear understanding of what you are saying to us and what you want us to do. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Today we are talking about the subject matter, you got what it takes. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying that you got what it takes to do what God has called you to do. You know, some people, they believe they can't do it until they get a PhD. They can't do it until they get a doctorate degree. They can't do it until they become a chief apostle, an archbishop, a deacon, an usher. They have to have something that is different to somebody else that make them feel that they're more than, you know. But God says that he has given us what we need to do what he called us to do. Let us go to the book of Acts chapter 1. Let's pull the first scripture from there, and then we're going to jump around. Dude, I got this thing this morning, well, sometime about 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, somewhere around there, the Lord was speaking to me about the anointing. He was speaking to me about the anointing, what he has poured in each and every one of us that has been called by the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every one of us that has been called, chosen by God, anointed by Jesus, has this in us. We see that in the book of Acts 2:38. But let's see here what he says, Acts 1:8. He says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, the same thing, has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, what God and Jesus is saying here, he's saying, look, the power that I'm giving you, that you're going to receive, is not for you to be braggadocious. It's not for you to push your chest up like you arrive and you have it all together. The power that you're going to receive is to be a witness, to tell someone about what I've done, to testify of the gift that I have prepared for each and every one that will call upon my name. The power that I'm giving to you is to glorify the Father. Jesus and the Father are the same. So when you're glorifying the Father, you're glorifying Jesus. He said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. So the power that you receive from him is for you to be a witness. That's what the power is all about. Not for you to get rich, not for you to get a big boat, get a big mansion on the hill and all the cars and all the bling. Because, you know, a lot of preachers, all they focus on is the bling. More bling they get, the more they have. They got one pastor that, He's somewhere down south. He becomes now the talk of the town all over the world. People are talking about him. He's an African-American, but he became so rich. Now, when he goes on the altar, he puts on over $1 million-plus in gold and diamonds and all this stuff. For what? He even fighting with people at the altar. you know, and all this kind of stuff. This thing is not for show. This thing is for you to glorify the Father, that the Father will be glorified through you, your lifestyle. So he says, but you, talking about the believer. And he was speaking for the disciples here, but this is also for us. He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, not just a part of Judea, but all of Judea, all over Judea, and in Samaria. You're going to the Gentiles, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Everywhere you go, you're going to talk about Jesus. This is the whole key to our ministry, for the world to know that Jesus is Lord. Let's go to Luke. This is the next scripture I have, Luke chapter 9. Let's go to Luke chapter 9, and let's look at verse 1 to what I got here in my book. Verse 1 to 6 on the top. Computer got verse 1 to 2. Let's go verse 1 to 6 and hear what Jesus is saying about this power and authority that we're talking about. You got what it takes. You got what it takes. He said, one day, now this Jesus is sending out his disciples into the vineyard. He's sending his disciples out into the vineyard. You know that every one of us that has received the gift of salvation, because that's what it is, it's a gift. Each and every one of us that has received the gift of salvation is called to go into the vineyard. Most people want to get saved, and then they want to go to the school of theology because their objective is that maybe they'll get a church building and they would have people following them, and they would stand behind the podium and preach and teach, and that's it. But it's more than that. We got to go in the vineyard. There's many people that are out there that are lost, that are not going to come to the church building. They're not going to come to the house of the Lord to hear the word. Some are going to come, but most of them are not going to come, because automatically they start up with a negative thinking of the church. They have a negative thinking that the church don't care for them. They have a negative thinking. The world tell them that the church don't care for them because of their lifestyle. They're living in sin. They forget that the people in the church that are in the church now once lived in sin, were once just like them. They forget that. But the devil tells them, you don't want to go over to that building because the people don't care about you. Here, the Bible says, one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority. Somebody said power and authority. He gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Now see, the power that you have, the power that he has given to us is not just for us to just play with. It is to cast out demons, the ones that don't represent him. The one that is objective to everything that he's saying down. Hallelujah. Those folks that are coming against the Christians, they have demons in them. They don't know they have demons. They don't love the Christians. You understand what I'm saying? Because why? The one that lives in the Christian is greater than them. And he becomes now their enemy. And the Bible says, David says, the enemy of God is his enemy. And we got to see it that way. So he says, then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. This is what the power is to do. We ought to know that we got this kind of power living on the inside. Take nothing for your journey. He instructed them, don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. He said, wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave them. And if a town refuses to welcome you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandon those people to their fate. So they began their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. Jesus told them, look, I don't want you to go over there like you some big guy, big girl, that you got it all together. You got this wardrobe that you're so high polluted. Every other service you change, you got to put on you. I know when I went to Africa, I had several change of clothes because it was hot, and you know you want to change because the clothes get so sweaty. When you come back here, you have to send them straight to the laundromat because they're soaking the salt from your sweat. Jesus tell them, but don't carry. But there in that area, people didn't wear heavy clothes like we wear here, these heavy wool suits, and so they wear the clothes are very light linen, very like silk linen fabric. So they didn't have to worry about all this stuff. So, but he gave this command. He said, but when you leave the town, if they don't receive you, go to another place. Just brush off the dust off your feet. The dust comes against them, a judgment against them that they're refusing the word of God. Now, go to Psalm 89. We're going to come back to Luke chapter 10. Let's go to Psalm 84. It's Psalm 84. We just did Acts 1 and 8, and we did Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. Now let's go over to Psalm 84, and let's pull up a verse over here, verse 9. And he says, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thy anointed. Now, behold, David is saying, he says, oh God, giving God reverence, our shield, our protector, and look, observe us, us your servants. Look upon the face of that anointed, the one that called, the anointed one. He said, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Do you hear what the preacher is saying? For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. You got what it takes. Let's go to Luke chapter 10, and then we'll come over to Exodus 28. Luke chapter 10. Let's get this scripture set up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Brother Deacon, for coming on. I'm always be here to hear the word, even though you don't respond, but you're here to hear the word. Luke chapter 10, verses 18 to 20. Jesus is speaking. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He said, look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And you can walk among snakes and serpents and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice over evil spirits. Don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you, but rejoice because your names are registered or written down in heaven. See, this, a lot of times we are so excited. We're like Apostle was saying, yeah, people, when they lay hands on somebody and they recover or they got healed or, you know, they're delivered from something, they jump and push their chest up and they say, I lay hands on this sick and the sick recover and I do this. They got so excited that they think they're doing all this stuff. They don't give God the glory that is so due to his name. You know what I'm saying? He said, but rather still rejoicing over that, that you lay hands on somebody and they got healed or they come back to life, rejoice because your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is written down in heaven that you are saved, that you are sanctified. You understand? Glory to God. Rejoice about that. That is more important this than rejoicing because you went down to the hospital and you prayed for somebody and they came up off the deathbed. You rejoice for somebody and you're excited because you went down and you prayed for somebody that needed a job and they got a job. You prayed for somebody that their marriage was breaking up and God mended their marriage. They're no longer breaking up, but they're coming back together. He said, no, rejoice because your name is written down in the book in heaven, God's eternal manual. Rejoice because of that. That's what we should be rejoicing. Matter of fact, we should be worrying continuously all the time. We should be thinking about if our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what we should be constant thinking about. Am I spending all this time delivering the message? I wonder if my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Am I going to be spend eternity with my Savior, or am I going to be shut out? That's what we got to be thinking about here in Exodus chapter 28, verse 41. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron and thy brother and his son with him, and shall anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. See, God had instructed Moses to make Aaron and his brother and his sons clothes, the priestly garments, and then that Moses was to anoint them to come and minister to God himself. See, I'm talking about you got what it takes. You got what it takes. So Aaron and his Moses' brother and his sons, they had what it takes to go and minister to God. They were anointed. They were sanctified, set apart, and they was appointed by God and anointed by Moses for God, to minister to God. So a lot of times we are discombobulated, wondering how we're going to do this and how we're going to do that in the kingdom. But we got to remember that God first called us or chose us, and he has anointed us, appointed us to do his will. Hallelujah. This is what we started out with Exodus, Acts chapter 1 and 8. He told them to stay in Jerusalem until they be endowed with power. What did they get the power for? What were they anointed for? To be a witness unto him. Everywhere they would go, they would have to minister unto him. They're ministering about how he is, what he has done at the cross. Hallelujah. The cross is the message. We can't get away from the cross wherever we go. The cross is the message. Folks think it's I'm getting this message because when I become this man of God, this woman of God, I'm going to make all this money. I'm going to have all these fine things of life. You see, so many people in Africa, they don't think about getting a trade. All of them want to be a preacher, want to be a high evangelist, want to be a pastor, want to be a teacher, want to be something in the house of the Lord. Most of them want to be a pastor because they think they're going to get easy money. They're not thinking about souls. I had a pastor that sent me a message from Africa. How so many pastors are indulging in witchcraft and they're openly proclaiming this stuff. He said they're not. He said apostles, they're not hiding anymore. They're openly dealing in devil worship and all this stuff and proclaiming this stuff. Going to get touched by the devil so they can draw people to the house of the Lord. using witchcraft, sorcery in the church to make money. Listen to what he says. He says to Moses, thou shalt put them upon Moses, upon Aaron. This is the clothes, the garments that Moses had made. God had given him the plan, the layout, the measurements and everything. He said, look, look, this is what I want you to do. And then he said, the words that we're putting up here, to pertain to the subject matter that we're teaching on, you've got what it takes. He said, and thou shalt put them upon Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him, and shall anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me, unto God, in the priest's office. We don't lift up this verse enough. Because all we think, so well, that congregation, I got to go today and minister to my congregation. I got to go minister to my people. I think about it. Is God really pleased with the word that we are giving out? Because remember, we're ministering to God first. We are ministering to him first. Is he really pleased with what we're giving out? When we're talking, ministering these prosperity messages. Now, this is not for you all on the blog talk, really, but this is for them folk that are going to hear this name far. Is God pleased with what you're putting out over the pulpit from behind that on that holy desk when you're talking about prosperity? Or you're going to get this, you're going to get this, and you're prophesying to the people. If you give more, God's going to give you all this and give you all that. But you're not concerned about their souls when you know that they're living a devil life, living and dabbing. Here, let's go to another scripture. Let's go to, First Samuel. I'm going to pull up one scripture. We're not going to be too long today. Not too long. First Samuel. Chapter 10. This is when the people have asked for a king. They just got out of Egypt. They want a king. They're not satisfied because all the other nations had kings. They want to be like, they got the king of all kings. And they cried out to the prophet that they wanted a king. And the prophet went to the Lord. You know, this is what we should always do. When people come and ask us a whole bunch of questions, we ought to ask God. Seek God for the answers. He has all the answers. And God told him to get him a king. So he assigned this Saul that was handsome. He had a nice physique. He's a quiet person in the spirit, in the natural. This is the one God gives. He said, then Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it over Saul's head. He kissed Saul and said, I am doing this because the Lord has appointed you to be the ruler over Israel, his special possession. God gave him what he needed to be the watchman of his people, of his sheep. But you know that Saul, as king over Israel, when he disobeyed the instructions of God's servant, he lost his kingdom. God can give you something and then take it back from you. He can. He can put you up and then pull you down if you disobey him. So the main important thing is that when you know that you are appointed and approved by God for you to do is to walk right before him. We read that scripture in Psalm 84, verse 9, 10, and 11 went down the road. Let's look back there again at it. The important thing is for us to obey God. And God tells us, he told us very plainly that he will not withhold any good thing from us. We have to stay abreast of what God is saying. He says, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. That's the one that's called, chosen. For it day in thy court is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. This is the servant is speaking here. And for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Those that are obedient. Those that follow his instructions. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. You got what it takes. Use it. 1 John 4:4. What did he say? You are of God, little children, for you have overcome them. For greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. This is what he says. You got what it takes. It's already in you. When we do Acts 2:38, he says that you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is living in you. You have the power. You have the authority living on the inside of you. But you're playing around. Excuse me. You are playing around. You're acting like you need all of this stuff because you're trying to impress people. You got to go down to the witch doctor. You got to pick up the tarot cards. You got to go to the palm reader. You got to go to the one with a crystal ball and all this stuff. Go down to Walmart or one of those stores and get you a Ouija board and all this kind of stuff. No, I saw this preacher was talking about the new game boards, very similar to the Ouija board that they have now, but they're all demonic sorcerer boards. They're all consecrated by demons for people to use. So you have to be careful. When you go to people's homes and they tell them they come play a game with them, you gotta ask God, if you don't know, God, what kind of game is this? Should I play? I should not play. And if you're not sure of what kind of game it is, leave it alone. Don't even indulge in it because you may be dipping and diving into witchcraft. Not knowing. Hallelujah. Let's go to Romans chapter 13. Paul is speaking to us. And this is what he says. Let's start at verse 1. He says, let every soul or every man be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained by of God. Even when the presidents are in the Congress and all them people, them folk, the police department, the policemen, they act. You know, since I've been here in this, back here in this state, I don't know how many years, 14, 15 years or more. Yeah, I got stopped one single time. I was going about, I guess, about 40 or 45 in 35-mile zone. I was going to church Sunday morning. This police come up from a side street with an unmarked car, an SUV, and he pulled me over, threw the lights on me, and I pulled over quick. And he put his mark on the car. You know, they tapped the car. They leave their fingerprints on the car. You can have no excuse that they didn't stop you. And he pulled me over. And he said, good morning, sir. How are you? I said, I'm fine, and so on and so on. You know, it's a small talk. So he looks at me. I'm dressed. Going to minister, so you can see. So he know that I was in the church. So he took my license and stuff and registration. And I said, well, so you know, I haven't had a ticket, a moving violation in over 18 years. And he said, well, if I don't find that on this, I'm not going to change that. I wouldn't. Well, why are you pulling me over? Why are you pulling me? I wasn't like that. I'm very cordial with him. He's doing his job. I was speeding. I was breaking the law. Hustling, trying to get in the church time. Well, I was going to pass me. I was running late. He could have given me a ticket. But he came back and gave me back my license registration. At that time, my car was registered in my wife's name. And he gave me back my license. Because I recognize this scripture right here. It says, let every man be subject unto the higher powers. Respect. Honor them. Not the same honor that you give to the Supreme God, to the Sovereign Lord. But respect their office, what they stand for. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Even when they're messing up, you still got to honor them. God is the one who will do the judgment on them. He says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. You hear what he's saying? What do you see when you see people resist when they get stopped by the police? They're watching a case they on the television, and this young man had committed some crimes, serious crimes. Well, he didn't even go in there to the judge. He had a lawyer and all this stuff, must be a public assist lawyer. And all these cases are coming up now because the devil is busy. Man, he disrespected the judge so bad, the judge told him to shut his mouth. He said, man, you can't tell me what to do. He said, my mouth, I talk what I want to. So he told the bailiff, the sheriff inside, he said, look, you all going to have to take him over here. He said, I don't need him. He said, just take him over here. So then he said, well, I'm going to sit down here and listen. So they took him out, and the judge told me, said, I'm going to give you the maximum on this crime. He got 130 years. 130 years. You see, you will never have parole. You'll never be able to come up with parole. Your crimes are too vicious. These people are selling them souls to the devil, you know, giving themselves to the devil, because they want to be rich. And the devil causing them to do some heinous crimes. That's why we got to stay prayerful. And we got to stay observant, aware. Fear, be very conscious of our surroundings. Because things are happening like very crazy right now. And they're going to get even crazier. Every prophet that I hear prophesying, the ones that are walking upright, are seeing the same things according to God's word. We are in a time that Satan is showing up his ugly head. Now, let's go back into this chapter. We just got a couple of verses in here. He said, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Ask the question. Do not do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You know, I had to go to the courthouse yesterday because I was applying for some information. And I went into the courthouse. I said, this thing place is so strange because I haven't been in a courthouse in 30 years. I had no reason to, you know. And I looked around and said, man. And I seen people coming in shackles and all this kind of stuff going before the judge. And I was just praising God in my spirit, man. You know, sometimes you see what God allowed to see what he delivered you from, that you could have been one of those people if you had stayed on the same path that you were going down. But God has sweeped me off of that path, off of the path of wickedness, and put me on the path of righteousness. Now I go, and police officers wave their hands at me because they know who I am. No. He said, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. If you do bad, if you act a fool, man, the police gonna give you the same thing. If you act right, you don't have to worry about them. I told you the other day that I don't even look in my rearview mirror when I see the flashlight, wondering about where they're going. I just pull over to the side because I know they're not coming after me. Why? Because I'm not operating in that realm anymore. Understand? So he says, wherefore you must needs to be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. You need to have the right mindset. Knowing that if you do bad, you're going to have to face the consequence. If you're doing good, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. We want to hang out with folk that we know they're divin' and diving in sin, and then they get pulled over and we're with them, we get treated just like them because we're with them. We're bad company. Bad company. Corrupt communication. This is what he said. He said, for this cause, bear ye subject tribute also, for there are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Honor them. Respect them. Hallelujah. There are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Let us go over to Luke chapter 8. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Woo! Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 8. And let's start way down at verse 22. See what Jesus is saying here. And we're talking about this. You got what it takes. Jesus said the works that he have done, we would do an even greater work. Show me we have the same power. We have that power in us. It's in us. Oh, another word, let me say it this word. The same power that's in Jesus is available to us. It's available to us. Hallelujah. In the book of Romans, it says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Well, I like to say it's available to us. Hallelujah. He says, one day Jesus said, verse 22 of Acts of Luke chapter 8, it's a scripture. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and started out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce wind or storm came down on the lake. The boat was filled with water, beginning to sink, and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, Master, Master, we are going to drown. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly, the storm stopped, and all was calm. Then he asked them, where is your faith? Jesus is saying, don't you know you have the same power inside of you? Where is your faith? We are talking this morning about you got what it takes. A lot of times things are happening, and instead of we operate according to what God has ordained us to do, we go to everybody else trying to find a solution. But he has already given us the solution. It's in us. So he says, the disciples were terrified and amazed. Who is this man? They ask each other. When he gives a command, even the wind and waves obey him. See, Jesus realized what's in him, that he realized who he is, that he had all power and all authority. Hallelujah. So they arrived in the region of Gerasenes across the lake from Galilee. As Jesus was climbing out of the boat, a man who was possessed by demons came out to meet him. For a long time he had been homeless and naked, living in a cemetery outside the town. As soon as he saw Jesus, he shrieked and fell down in front of him. Then he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me?" Some of the text says, "Why are you come to torment me before the time?" Some of the text says, "Why are you bothering us?" Jesus, Son of the Most High God, he asks, "Why are you interfering with me?" Jesus, Son of the Most High God, "Please, I beg you, don't torture me." The demons and the man begin to beg Jesus because they recognize, they see that Jesus had what it takes. He possessed what it takes to remove them from this man, but from the house that they were living in. If we operate in this mindset or in this spirit or in this realm or this dimension, demons will know who we are. But a lot of times we succumb to who the demons are. We become afraid. We forget who we are. And they take authority. The demons begin to tremble. They begin to beg Jesus. Jesus had already commanded the evil spirit to come out of him. This spirit had often taken control of the man, even when he was placed on the guard and put in chains and shackles. He simply brought them and rushed out into the wilderness completely under the demon's power. Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" Jesus asks, he's speaking to the demons, speaking to the man and the demons. And he says, "What is your name?" The demons answer, "We are Legion." Now, our name is Legion, he replied, "for he was filled with many demons." We are many. Some version of the Bible says, "for we are many." The demons kept begging Jesus not to send them into the bottomless pit, the abyss. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. And the demons begged Jesus to let them enter into the pigs. So Jesus gave them permission. They couldn't go on their own. They were still under Jesus' power, under his authority. They couldn't just come out the man and jump into the pigs. They begged Jesus, asked Jesus for permission to enter the pigs, he sent them. The demons came out of the man and into the pigs, and the entire herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned. This particular verse here always amazed me, that how the pigs that can't talk just can walk. They can't talk, then they're speaking their own language. But they can't talk in human language. Didn't want anything to deal with the devil. The pigs did not want anything. They didn't want to have nothing to do with the devil. They preferred to drown themselves than to have the devils in them. But men today, women today, will go and sell their souls to the devil and perform all that the devil to. I listened to a program the preacher was talking about, and he had put this picture up there on the site. A Beyonce. She's very beautiful, African American. And she was telling the people, she said, "Look, when I come on stage, I come out as Beyonce. But when I step on that stage, she says, something else enter into me. And I become, she called the name, I don't remember that, focus on that. She says, I become that person. She says, he sings, or she sings. He said, reaching octaves that I could never reach on my own. But the spirit that takes over her body, the dancing, the nasty sexual dancing that she puts on, that's the demon dancing. But she has allowed all of this so she can become a multimillionaire. You understand what I'm saying? Because people are so concerned about being rich. And I always like Matthew 5, chapter, where he says, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what can you give in return for your soul? I always focus on that. Because after you get all the billions and the trillions and all this stuff, what you going to do when the time comes? Look at George Soros. He's a billionaire. And he's using a lot of his billions. The devil gives him so much money to corrupt everything that's righteous. He spends his money against everything that's righteous. And if you ever see him on TV or the internet, he looks like a dead man. He looks like a dead man walking. I mean, just look at his face. There's no life. Glory to God. But he has plenty of money. And he's corrupting men and women alike in this country, all over the world. He intervening and trying to corrupt nations so people would sell their soul to the devil. He don't have no problem giving somebody $10 million. Because he got it like that. The devil gave him all that money. When the herdmen saw it, verse 34, they fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. They began telling everybody about this man called Jesus, how he set this man that was living in the graveyard in the cemetery free, that he released him from the demons. And the demons got in the herd of pigs. And all the pigs ran. That's the news that they're sharing. They're spreading this. They're telling everybody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You remember when he raised Lazarus from the dead? The news went out. The news was spread abroad because he's using the power of the Father. The power that the Father gave to him, he's exercising his power. It's in him. He had what it takes. I ask the Lord God to allow me to use what it takes that he's given to me. I ask God to show me even more. Hallelujah. As I grow older and learn more, show me. Allow me to use the gifts. And he says, they're spreading the news as they went. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been freed from the demons. He was sitting at Jesus' feet, fully clothed and perfectly sane. And they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others how the demon-possessed man had been healed. And all the people in the region of the Gerasenes begged Jesus to go away and leave them alone. So a great wave of fear swept over them. So Jesus returned to the boat and left, crossing back to the other side of the lake. The man who had been freed from the demons begged to go with Jesus, but Jesus sent him home, saying, no, go back to your family and tell them everything God has done for you. So he went all through the town proclaiming the great things Jesus had done for him. Now the man became an evangelist for God. You remember the woman at Jacob's well? She came to draw water in the heat of the day. Rachel didn't have to see all these other women that she was sleeping with, amen. Hallelujah. But Jesus stood there in the heat of the day while the disciples went back into town to get stuff to eat. He knew that she would come there at a certain time in the heat of the day. Jesus did not have an umbrella to shelter him from the sun, but he stood there in the heat of the day without a bucket to draw water to cool him down, waiting for this woman to give her what she needed, because she had what it takes. When she got what she needed, what she came for, she left behind. But she left with what she needed. She left filled with living water that Jesus gave to her. And she went back into town with that. She became not, she left being an adulterer. She came being an adulteress. She came being an adulteress, and she left being an evangelist. She went back into town evangelizing, telling the people, come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He's got to be the Messiah. He's got to be the one we've been waiting for. You see, when we recognize what we have and we begin to share it, people want to see the one who gave us what we have. But we become too subtle and afraid to preach the truth. We compromise the truth to tell people what they want instead of what they need. Hallelujah. On the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and sat at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by a crowd. See, when you preaching the truth and teaching the truth, everybody want to get close to you. Everybody want to get close to you with the right intentions. But everybody want to get close because they want to just get a glimpse of who you are, what you look like, hear what you're saying. And they come around Jesus. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years. No, this 12 is the number of the heavenly government. And the girl is 12 years, and this woman has been suffering with this issue that she had a bleeding for 12 years. Hallelujah. And she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe or hem of his robe. Immediately the bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. See, it could have a million people around Jesus, but Jesus knows when somebody touched him. Well, every time when you touch Jesus with your prayer of repentance, Jesus can tell. When you touch him with your prayers of need, Jesus can tell. Hallelujah. When you touch him with the prayer of surrender, Jesus can tell. Hallelujah. He knows when you are committed and submitted to him. He can tell. He can tell. Jesus asks, who touched me? Everybody denied it. And Peter said, Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you. But Jesus says, someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me. See, this touch is different. This touch that Jesus felt is a touch of need, a strong desire to be healed. Jesus felt it. Hallelujah. When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of Jesus. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has made you well.
go in peace. While he was still speaking to her, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. He told him, your daughter is dead. There is no use troubling the teacher now. Because Jesus is ministering. He's walking and ministering all the time as he's going. He is heading to Jairus' house. The woman with the issue of blood reached in and touched his garment. Now one of the servants from Jairus' house come and tell Jairus, there's no reason to bother Jesus because your daughter's dead now. But Jesus knows because he's God. He knows all things. Jairus now, I imagine that he's broken inside. Because he got the news that his only daughter, his only beloved daughter. But when Jesus heard what had happened, he said to Jairus, don't be afraid. See, when you know that you know that you know what you have on the inside. When you know that you know that you know that you have what you got, what it takes. You speak with this boldness. He told Jairus, don't be afraid. Just have faith. And she will be healed. You can imagine Jairus what's going through his mind. His servant just told him before Jesus and all the other people that his daughter is dead. He didn't say she was sleeping, that she was in pain. He didn't say she was just laying there on the bed aching from the pain. He didn't say she was just running. She was overheated from the fever. He didn't say that or what was going on that she was just laying there. He said she was dead. D-E-A-D. Dead. Gone. Crossover. And now Jesus telling them to have faith. She will be healed. When they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James. He's got his three warriors. And the little girl's father and mother. Five is the number of grace. Peter, John, James, the father, Jairus, and the mother. That's grace. Represents grace. The house was filled with people weeping and wailing, but he said, stop the weeping. She isn't dead. She is only asleep. But the crowd laughed at him because they all knew she had died. Then Jesus took her by the hand and said in a loud voice, my child, get up. My child, get up. And at that moment, her life returned. And she immediately stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were overwhelmed. But Jesus insisted that they not tell anyone what had happened. Jesus knew he had what it takes. We sometimes forget. Matter of fact, we don't even consider the power that's in us. We look at the situation, the circumstance that's before us. And that's how we relate. When we see it, we say it can't happen. What must I do? I was at the hospital with Evangelist Brown several years ago, and her niece was in there dying. And as you hear me share this story before, it seemed like she had a tube, every part of her body, these little plastic tubes, every part of her body. She had little stickers on her, all over her chest, all over her head, all over the side of her face. Had things in her nose, in her mouth. I tell you, she had to defecate through a tube, urinate through a tube. All this stuff was going on. And when we got there and we find out where she was, we saw her. The doctor told Evangelist Cordas was her niece. They wouldn't show how long she would be able to hold out.
And we're standing there for a while. I had evangelist down. I anointed her chest. I anointed her feet and her hands and her head. She put the oil over her breast and stuff. You know, under the garment, the gown. And we started to pray. And while we was praying, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say to me that she was going to make it out. That she's not going to stay there. And I said to the evangelist, she's coming out of here. While we was praying, we saw the index finger move. The index finger make a little jiggle. Symbol of however you want to pronounce it. And I said, Vanessa, did you see that? And the finger move again. She wasn't doing anything before. Then one of her eyes lift up and close down, like she was hearing us. And I said, Vanessa, I told you she's coming over here. Well, we didn't go back for about a week or so. And then Vanessa says she is going over there to check on her. But she wasn't there. She was gone. And they told her she was removed from there to a rehab center. And we were planning to go. So we made a plan to go see her. It was over 100 miles. I drove faster than I. We drove over there. And we went to this rehab center to see her niece, to see what God had done. And when we got there, this young woman, she was now no member. She couldn't get up. She couldn't stand up. Nothing. She was rehabbing. She was in a wheelchair. She's a young woman. She's in her late 20s. And she was in a wheelchair. Now she can move her hand and all that stuff, but she can't walk. And she was trying to take my iPad. I still got that old iPad here working with. She was trying to, I said, no, you can't take my iPad. But I was happy that God had raised her up, like he said. Then a little while, she was transferred from their home. She was released, not transferred. She was released home. Now she's driving. She has a son that she thought she would never see again, that his grandmother would have to raise him. Now she's raising her son. Her boyfriend had got shot, and that's where it all came from, and she went into a coma. She was shot, shell shocked. The man she thought was going to be her husband, the father of her child, shot down dead. And she went into a shock. They said they'd never seen anything like that before. She was actually dying from what she saw. Here in this book of Isaiah chapter 53, he says, who has believed our report? And whom is the arm of the Lord revealed to? Talking about Jesus. And it went on to say a whole lot in here about Jesus. But I just bring in that one verse there. Who believe? We believe the report of the Lord. The report of the Lord says that we are filled. The report of the Lord says that we are free. The report of the Lord says that we are healed. The report of the Lord says we have the victory. A lot of times we forget that we have the victory. Go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Jesus says, 17 and verse 2. You have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. You got what it takes. Jesus has authority to lift up and to put down. He can give life to whoever. Whoever he chooses to. When you call upon him with the voice of repentance, and when you accept him as your Lord and your Savior, he gives you life
life full of glory. He allows you to experience joy, unspeakable joy, when you call upon him. John chapter 17. Jesus speaks in this chapter. He's having a prayer to the Father for the disciples, the ones that he would leave behind at some point in time. The same prayer is for you and I, all of us that call upon his name. This prayer is for us. Sometimes we take it just for the 12. We take it just for them and them alone. But it's for us too. He said to the Father, let's start at verse 13. No, I am coming to you. I tell them many things while I was with them in the world, so they would be filled with my joy. Talking to the Father. He says, I have given them your words, Father, and the world hate them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Now, see, the moment you get this word into your heart, you become an enemy to the world. I want you to know that. So there is no need trying to fit back in. They can't stand you. Not because you're ugly, not because you're beautiful. They can't stand you because of the one who lives on the inside of you. They can't stand you. Hear what I'm telling you. Stop trying to fit in. That is your problem. Stop trying to fit in. You try to run back here and run back there to be with them, but they don't want you, because the one that's inside of you, they see the power that's within you. This is why they come after you the way they come after you. Jesus told the Father, he says, I have given them your word. He didn't say my word. Do you see that? John chapter 17 and 14. He said the world hates them. Somebody's phone is making a noise. Please mute your phone, please. Thank you. He says the world hates them. So when folk, I'm going to have to mute this phone. Some noise going on in the background here. When you see folk coming against you or coming after you and giving you a hard time, it's not because they don't like you. They're coming after you because that word that's inside your belly, the light that's inside of you, the anointing that's inside of you. Remember we said over there in Exodus 28, where God says to Moses to make the clothes for Aaron, his brother, and his Aaron's son, so that they would come and minister to him. They see this anointing that's upon you. Moses anointed Aaron and his son, and he consecrated them, he sanctified them, so they could go before God. See, when you become set apart for God, everybody else, your mama, your brother, your sister, aunt, son, daughter, they all come against you. They can't stand you. Most of them, unless they know God, unless they had an encounter with the Savior. If they didn't have an encounter with the Savior, they can't stand you. You may be working for them. They can't stand you. They just play a part. But they can't really stand you because this anointing that's on your life is disturbing their life. And God, they don't want you. They don't want us to fight with them. He don't want us to cause a ruckus with them. Let's say that. He wants us to be who he called us to be, knowing that we got what it takes. This is the message. The message today, the subject matter, you got what it takes. You must know from the inside that you got what it takes. You are filled to the overflow. You're overflowing from the inside out. Your vessel, your cup is overflowing. Let them drink. Don't let them torment you. Let them drink. If you act the way God asks you to act, they will drink. Now he says, he said to the Father, here, we got one more scripture, I believe, but let's go down this here as the Lord give us leadings. John 17:15. He said, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe, protect them from the evil one. See, a lot of us don't understand that we are protected. There's a shield around us. As we live and breathe and walk for Christ, the shield goes wherever we go. The shield cannot be left behind. Do you understand that? You cannot leave the shield behind. The shield is spiritual. It protects you in the spirit realm and the natural realm. I remember when I was shot at close range. Didn't even know God had a plan for my life. At close range in Washington, D.C. And the young man, he was a black man too. Crack dealer. And his eyes opened. The young lady that took me to get the crack, that I was going to buy the crack for her, she took off after the shots, 5 shots. Just like that. And she took off, went back to Virginia and tell her father, because we were going back to her father. All of us was going to get high in the basement to the little coffee table in the basement. They got coke from somewhere, because when they got back to Virginia, they was all there getting high. But when they got in the door, their eyes opened wide, because they believed they have seen a ghost. God had placed a hedge around me at the time, even when I didn't know him the way I know him now. He said to him, I'm not asking you, Father, to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe and protected from the evil one. They do not belong to this world even any more than I do. Jesus said, they don't belong to the world any more than I do. He said, make them holy by your truth. See, we can't make ourselves holy. A lot of times we think it's the garments, it's the cross around your neck, it's the priest robe, it's the mitre on your head, it's the ring on your finger. No, all that stuff is just things of short to man. That don't make you holy. He says, Father, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. He said, just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. This is the problem here. We don't want to go into the world. We just want to go into church building and get behind a holy desk, put on a holy robe, put on a holy ring, and we look all apart. And we say to the same people every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Saturday, every Friday, whenever we go to the building, we preach to the same people. We are not evangelizing. This is where the work is to be done. This is where we have to raise up other people. Leaders make leaders. We got to send them out. If we can't go, we got to send them out. Say, well, I can't send them on the street. Too many people getting killed. Didn't I just tell you that he's protecting them, that he's shielding them? I read the scripture that he's a shield to us in Psalm 84. Hallelujah. We got to send people out to evangelize so people can get saved. People will come to the house to get a stronger teaching from the leader. Listen to what he says. He says, just as you sent me, Father, into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. When you get the word, when you get the word in your heart, the word begin to transform you from the inside. We know how to talk and how not to talk, when to respond and when not to respond. We know that we don't allow people to move us because we know what we have on the inside. We know that we have what it takes. And sometimes I don't have to talk. I don't have to say a word. I just got to let him talk for me. Be silent. Let him do the work. God is that powerful when I shut my mouth. He's that powerful. He deals with every situation that I'm facing. He said, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message, their word. The key is that I want people, we want people to believe on Jesus, on Yeshua, through our lifestyle. The way we respond to people, the way we respond to people, we want people to believe in him. We are not here to move because people say move. We're here, we're moving because he's leading us how to go. He is our shepherd. So we move according to his leadings. When we do that, what happens is that people begin to see, man, he's anointed. Man, I could tell this man, I could tell her, she got that thing on her. It's on her. Because whatever's going on around me is not moving me. I'm moving because he's moving, because he's leading. Listen, Jesus says, I pray that they would be one just as you and I are one. This is the longest prayer in the Bible. He said, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. See, when we live the lifestyle that he has ordained for us to live, when we live this life knowing what we have, the world believes that we have been sent by Jesus. And they believe that Jesus has been sent by the Father. You understand how it goes? It's like a stairway. The world begins to believe that, yes, we are really the servants of the Most High God. And that Jesus was sent by him. Jesus sent us. And the Father sent Jesus. Jesus is the Father. He's the Son. And he's the Holy Ghost. The world will believe this. There wouldn't be a controversy going on. But we got to live this thing out. We got to get to the place where we know who we are, whose we are. He said, I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. The main thing that God is calling for today is for his church to become one. There's too much a great division in the church. I don't say the church of God, but the church of man. Because it starts out as the church of man. You know what I'm saying? My church. You hear most preachers say, my church, me and my wife, and we started a church when we were this years old and all this stuff. They said, our church. You don't hear them say the church of Jesus Christ. We are the watchmen. You don't hear them saying that. Well, I'm the angel that God put in this church to watch over this church, that he come for his church. They always said their church, their church. This is not block talk. Don't belong to me. We have a vast amount of members all over the world, people all over the world that are coming here to hear what God is saying through the people that preach over this line. And I always say, Lord, I thank you that you have made me one of the watchmen. I've always said that. I thank you. He said the word. He said the glory you have given to me, I given to them that they be one. He said, I in them, and you in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love me, you love them as much as you love me. See? Man, this is so powerful. I like this Bible here. He says that the way they make it so simplified. He says, I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Jesus says, he says, Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory, not some of the glory. Oh, my God, when I read this here, this really excites me. Let me read it again. Verse 24. of John chapter 17. He said, Father, I want these, referring to the disciples and to us. This is not only just for those 12, but for us too. He said, Father, I want these whom you have given to me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all, not part, not some, of the glory you gave me. Because you love me even before the world began. He said, oh, righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. What a powerful, powerful. I read this from verse 13 to the end, verse 26, John chapter 17. I'm telling you, I come out the NLT, but this is so powerful. That's the way he did this thing. He wants the Father to be in us and us in them. He wants us to become one. He wants us to know what we have. When we understand that we have him living on the inside of us in the spirit form, we begin to live different. We begin to truly appreciate what we have. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. This is the last scripture. No, I got another scripture. I got another scripture. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Jesus, help us. Let's start at verse 16. The Great Commission. The 11 disciples left for Galilee, going into the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He said, these things, new disciples to obey all the commandments I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This scripture here blew my mind away some years ago. He says, be sure of this, I am with you always, never leaving you, even unto the end of the age. Now, here in this chapter here, in verse 19, is what a lot of people get confused with. And they fight over that. Preachers fight over that. They don't want to associate with the preacher that got the revelation that the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost is Jesus or Yeshua. They haven't gotten the revelation. And they'll fight with you. Where we baptize the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That is what Jesus says. Because they don't have enough spiritual understanding that it is Jesus. When you get to Acts 2 and 38, the disciples, after Jesus' crossover, back to be the Father, they got the revelation. There ain't no place in the Bible you see the disciples baptizing anybody in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Nowhere in the Bible. And they've been with him. They heard the word. They have the word. It's in them. Last scripture, and we are finished. Revelation chapter 20. And let's see if we do, how much verses? 10 verses. 20. Then saw I an angel coming down from heaven with the key to the bottomless pit and a heavy chain in his hand. He sees the dragon, that old serpent, who is the devil, Satan, and bound him in chains for 1,000 years. The angel threw him into the bottomless pit, which he then shut and locked so Satan could not deceive the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were finished. Afterward, he must be released for a little while. Then I saw thrones, and the people sitting on them had been given the authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony about Jesus and for proclaiming the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his statue, nor accepted his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They all came to life again, and they reign with Christ for 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. The rest of the dead did not come back to life until the 1,000 years had ended. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. For them, the second death holds no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him 1,000 years. Understand that Satan is loose right now. He's loose right now. And he's wreaking havoc on the people that rejected and refused to accept Jesus Christ and the gospel. Verse 7 says, when the 1,000 years come to an end, Satan will be let out of his prison. He will go out to deceive the nations called Gog and Magog. It's happening right now. In every corner of the earth, he will gather them together for battle, a mighty army as numberless as sand along the seashore. And I saw them as they went up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded God's people and the beloved city. But fire from heaven came down on the attacking armies and consumed them. Then the devil, who had deceived them, was thrown into the fiery lake of fire and a burning sulfur, fire and brimstone, joining the beast and the false prophet. There will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, I want you to know this. This Bible is real. And once you take a minute, take 1 minute, and just take a look at your own heart, our own heart. Let's take a minute, look at our own heart. See if we really got what it takes. If you don't feel you got what it takes right where you are, ask God to forgive you. Ask God to forgive you, repent for your life, and ask God to start cleaning up the inside, because you ought to have what it takes. Jesus gave to every man a measure of faith, every single one of us. And what God wants us to do is stand on the truth. He said, I want you to become one as we are one. I want you to be in us and us in you. So there should be no fear. Let him fight the battle. No time for us to fight with anybody. I'm not fighting with anyone. Either you're in or you're out. It's up to you. Here, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given to us. So grateful to see Evangelist Sheila on the line, Pastor Stewart, Brother Deacon Frazier. We thank God for you all, and thank God for the Washingtons in their absence. Thank God for the Browns in their absence. And we thank God for all the other preachers out there in computer land, the Apostle LeGrant, Evangelist Curtis, Evangelist Darlene Campbell. She sent me a message yesterday
come with a Baton Rouge. And, you know, there's a lot of wickedness out there. And a lady sent me a message to pray for this little baby, 22 months old. And I tell you something, that there's people in this world today are so wicked that they should not even be in this world. They should be consumed and be out of this world. They're so wicked. And this little boy is 22 years old. He's in the hospital somewhere in Baton Rouge, fighting for his life right now. And it's maybe his stepfather or his father. And they burned this little boy up. He got burn marks all over his body from cigarettes, from the tip of a cigarette. And they slammed him with something. They slammed the little boy with something that he lost a piece of his skull. So they have to now rebuild his skull with some artificial stuff. And tell you this stuff before we pray, because I want you to pray for this little boy. I don't know his name. I don't know if I see it back on the computer, but he, let me see if I'm going to look and see if I'll find the computer quick, fast, in a hurry. But they beat this little boy so bad, they broke off a piece of his head. He got bones, broke, fractured bones in his back. Could be ribs, whatever. And he's got burn marks all over his hand. He's on life support right now. He's 22 months old. They burned him even on his penis with a cigarette. This is all on the computer. Evangelist Campbell sent me yesterday. And he's in Baton Rouge fighting for his life. And I say to myself, if it's his father, he should be in prison, never get out of prison. If it's his stepfather, if it's his mother, if it's his mother-in-law, that person that did that to that little boy should be locked up and never, ever see the day light again. Why? Why are you saying, Apostle? Because with that type of wicked spirit to do that to a child, you would do anything to anybody else. You would hurt anybody. For a little child, 22 months old, that child can't do nothing to you. Can't do anything to you. Let me see if I find it. And here, I got the picture on my page. He's in the hospital in Baton Rouge, fighting for his life, got the thing on his face, fighting to get to breathe. So he's on life support. His name is, let me see if she put his name on there. His name is Tyshawn. Tyshawn, T-Y-S-H-A-W-N. Then give me a last name. His mother is Stephanie McGee, MacD. Stephanie MacD. And this little boy is 22 months old, a toddler. He was manhandled, beaten, and burned with cigarettes. And it says that he is fighting. Let me share what it says here. So it's opening. We're going to pray. We're going to pray now. And we're going to pray and open the thing in a little bit. But see if it opens here. Yeah. He's his 22 months old toddler, manhandled, beaten and burned with cigarettes. He is fighting for his life at Children's Hospital here in Baton Rouge. My grandson did not deserve this. Brain surgery, part of his skull removed. Trauma to his face and body. Broken bones in his little back. He even has cigarette burns to his penis and testicles and between his toes. Lord Jesus, help my grandson. He is hooked up to a ventilator. I need prayers to continue to be released on his behalf. His name is Tyshawn Brumfield, B-R-U-M-F-I-E-L-D. That's his name, Tyshawn Brumfield. You will live and die not. This is what she's saying. This is her prayer. You will be blessed holistically in Jesus' name. I tell you, that thing, if you see the little boy, he laying in the bed in Trigger Hospital, and he got all these things going to him and them on the machine, fighting for his life. What human being there is that would do something like this to a child, 22 months old? This child can't take up a knife and stab nobody. This guy can't boil no hot water and throw on somebody. He can't put poison in no drink to nobody. He can't take up a 9mm and kill somebody. He can't take up a 22 rifle and shot somebody. What devil would do something like this to a child? I asked myself this last night. I was praying for him. I was praying for this little boy. Who would do something like this to a child? This is a human being without any type of heartfelt compassion for any other human being would do this to a child. Even burn a little kid penis, his testicles, between his toes, all on his hand, his face, everything. He's on the computer. Evangelist Campbell sent me that yesterday, and then the mother sent me a thing on Facebook. We were praying for him last night. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's a good time. It's a good day to give your life to him. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All Adam. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6 and 23. Romans 3 and 23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Thank you, Apostle. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say he was one of the ways. He said, I am the way, the only way. We got to come in through Jesus. Jesus said, I am coming quickly. Not quick, but quickly. We got to understand that Jesus gave his life so that we would have life and have it more abundantly. Peter says in Acts 2 and 38, he said that you must repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's Acts 2 and 38. Our subject matter that we preach on today was you got what it takes. You got what it takes. What it takes is the power of God living on the inside of you. And I use the scripture, 1 John 4 and 4. It's inside of us. We don't have to wonder. You don't have to go to the television station. You don't have to go to the movie cinema. You don't have to go nowhere looking for it. It's inside of you. Even when you don't feel good. Well, it's good for us to get together and pray, and people pray for us and pray with us, because it's, one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000. But lay hands on yourself. You don't feel good. Lay hands on yourself. You talk to your daddy first. And then call up your husband. Call up your wife. Call up your children. Call up your sister in Christ, your brother in Christ. But lay your hand on yourself. Say, Lord, I don't feel good today. My stomach don't feel right. My knee, my back, my kidneys, my liver. Lord, my eyes are, I'm seeing double visions today. My heart is aching, pain in my chest. Lord, I need you to fix that. Lord, I know that you can. Because you're the one give me the heart. You're the one give me the kidney. You're the one give me the liver. Just call on to him, and he will fix you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You've got to believe in him. You've got to give your life completely over to Jesus. Give your life to him. Hallelujah. In surrender. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, matter cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or examined or made known. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. This will be made clear. Hallelujah. The Bible says very carefully, very clear, that there is no other name given among men. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, here he says, be it known unto you all, Acts chapter 4, verse 10, and to all you people in Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Remember the man that was at the gate called Beautiful Begging Arms, and Peter and John, they said, look upon us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given unto thee. Rise up and walk. And Peter took him by his right hand, and the Bible said that he got up, and he started walking and leaping and praising God. He followed them right into the temple. He was so excited. But Peter let them know that it wasn't him. It wasn't John. But it was the power of Jesus Christ, the very one that they, the one that they crucified. And then he said, he had become the head of the corner. He is the head of the corner. He is the head of the church. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The only name is Jesus. That's the name. He said, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled that they, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, when you recognize what you have on the inside, when you recognize that you have what it takes, it doesn't matter what anyone has said. People are going to marvel. The ones that know the truth are going to know that you've been with Jesus, because they look at your life and say, man, there's something different about that evangelist. There's something different about that apostle. Man, I'm telling you something. I can tell you there's something different about her. There's something different about him. Man, I can just look at them and see the anointing all over them. They can see that. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the one who went to Calvary, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, it said that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. See, according to the scriptures, see, when you know what you have on the inside, when you know that you have what it takes, you're not going to be ashamed. Nobody can put you ashamed. They can say anything they want to say about you. They can say what they want to say about me. But then God put me ashamed because Jesus took my shame. He took my shame on the cross called Calvary, on a hill called Golgotha, on a hill called the skull. He took my shame. So you can't shame me. He took it away. All that I have done that was contrary to the word of God, he took on the cross. He nailed it to the cross. He was crowned with all the filthiness that I've ever done in my life. You can't bring that against me. Apostle with this, apostle that. Man, you keep that stuff up. Talk that stuff. Evangelist with this. Man, you keep that stuff. Bishop with this. Keep that up. We already delivered, son. Daughter, brother, we already delivered. Christ delivered us. So we walking and living in freedom. People still stuck on stupid saying, I know when he was doing it. I know when he was. Man, you stay over there. I'm no longer on that street. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is a good day. Pastor Larry used to say, this is a good day for you to receive salvation, because tomorrow is not promised anyway. Just say, Lord Jesus, I come to you with great expectation. I heard the word today, and I believe just as the man of God, the servant of God was saying,
I believe that you gave your life on a hill called Calvary for me, for my life. A righteous for unrighteous, a king for a peasant, you give your life for me. And I realized that if I was the only one on this earth, that you would have left your home in glory and come into time just to set me free. Jesus, today is the 23rd day of December. At 1:48, I denounced Satan and all of his agents and this world system. Jesus, I know that you have what it takes. So I am coming asking you, as I come in according to Acts 2:38 with a heart of repentance, asking you for forgiveness. I repent of every sin that I have ever committed, known or not known. And Lord Jesus, I invite you now, according to the scriptures, to enter my heart, to come into my heart, to take control of my heart. Sit on the throne of my life. Sit on the throne of my life and give me your life. Take my life and give me yours. If you have just said that very simple prayer and you believe what you said with your mouth, you have just received the gift of salvation. And even if you were saved before and you have backslidden and went back into your old lifestyle and you have repeated that prayer, you have just rededicated your life. God receive you back into his arms. Don't let the devil tell you any different. No matter what you have done, he is able and willing to forgive your sins. You may have went out and fornicated, committed adultery, lied, cheat, steal, stole. Listen, if you repent, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He is. Man might keep it over your head, but God said, I washed it away from you. I cast it into the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east from the west. He said, I remember no more. I know one time I was going through so much stuff, and I kept saying, well, that's God ain't going to. And when I read that scripture, I said, man, I said, whoa, God throw my sin in the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east from the west. He don't. I said, my God, Lord, I've been beating myself up that I could never get myself right enough for God to save me. Lord, I give this thing to you. I leave it alone. So if you receive the gift of salvation today, call up a pastor, a preacher, and tell them that you received the gift of salvation and you want to be baptized. A lot of people baptize Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and that's all right. But don't you go tell the preacher that, well, the preacher tell you got to be baptized in Jesus' name and start a big old stuff. The pastor said, look, if that's the way they're baptized, I said, well, that's okay. I'll get back in touch with you. And when you get in touch with a pastor that will baptize you the way according to Acts 2:38, call up your family and co-workers, whatever, and tell them that you're going to get baptized and invite them to your baptism, because this is a very special time. You'll never have another time like that when you get baptized. I tell you, when they got baptized, I ran off. Man, I couldn't stop. I smoked the best cocaine in the world. I was so high. Jesus, no, I took off running. And the lady that baptized me, she says, leave him alone, leave him alone. He said, leave Brother Dave alone. See, he got the Holy Ghost. See, he got the Holy Ghost. Leave him alone. Man, I was running and speaking in tongues and everything. I came up with that water in fire. Robe soaking wet. They baptized me in a white robe. And I tell you, I ran off. I was so excited. I said, Lord, if I knew this was this good, I wouldn't have spent all that money buying all that cocaine. But yeah, I had to go through. That God didn't put me there. I put myself through the sin that I've been through. But he received me in the sin that I was in. And he cleansed me from all unrighteousness. And he called me son. So I thank God for you all that came on today and hear this word. And see, Evangelist Scott Brown came on late, but she still heard something. And Apostle Washington, he was on till the end. He just got off. But we thank God for the word
We thank God for you all that came on, and whatever you heard, you heard. But the topic today was, you got what it takes. We got what it takes. That's what you can say. You know, but if you're thinking about yourself, as I put it out there, that's what the Lord gave me. He said, you got what it takes. I was talking to him this morning. I didn't put this in the computer till this morning because I went to sleep early. And Apostle Washington was going to come on, but I didn't know that she was available. And she'll be here tomorrow for Sabbath, you know, for Sabbath tomorrow. So he said she would have come on, but I didn't want to jam her with that this morning, so I went on and put it together for today. So God bless you all. The line is now open for anyone that wants to come on in and respond. If you got something you want to say, you can come on in.
Praise the Lord. I always wait for somebody to fill the space, but I'm so grateful I got on. Apostle, I'm sorry I'm late. I got distracted. I meant to get on almost a half an hour to an hour ago, about a half hour ago. I'm so grateful to hear that word because I'm just coming into that understanding literally now about it's not us, it's the Christ in us that the world hates, and we have to not take it personal, but we do, because I did for a long time. Even up until this time, until the Holy Spirit began to show me it's the Christ in me. And so I asked him to teach me and help me be the light and not look at them as flesh, but just pray for them. And it's not easy, because sometimes this one person just gets me very upset, and I say I just talk to God about them. My emotions go kind of, you know, one minute I don't like this. I don't like this man. I need your help, Lord. Then I'll pray for him. You know, so what I'm saying is that it's so important to walk close to Christ, especially in these days, and that's the revelation I'm receiving now. And I'm going to throw this off, but I'm not throwing this off. I'm going to go back to this. I just heard on TBN that there was a missile strike or something where Israel defended itself. Iran is advancing, and also giving weapons to Russia. And you can see we're in the end time, and we're over here in America, so we don't really know the ramifications. But this is not the time to separate from Christ, but to grow closer. And I will also put this baby on our prayer list, and I wrote them down. This is just horrific. This is horrific, because you know, this is one incident, but there's so many incidences going on that are just crazy, where the devil is just using people left and right, and the people don't even know they're being used. And even as Christians, we were used, you know. We didn't know, but it's the Holy Spirit that's enlightening our understanding and insight into the way we displease God. So I'm going back to the scripture, not the scripture, but this message about the wiles of the enemy and walking close to Christ and loving him, because it was Christ that prayed for us over 2,000 years ago to protect those who are his, that he would call us down through the ages and know that we would be brought in to his kingdom. But we have to work to stay in his kingdom. So I'm just very grateful for this word on today. May God bless you and your family for being obedient to continue to keep this ministry on the air and to give the word of God, to preach and teach the word of God in season and out of season. Amen. For now, amen.
Thank you so much, Yvonne, just for coming on in. Yes, we have to keep this little boy in prayer. You know, I tell you that when you read what happened to him, and I put it on the message, what happened to him. A lot of people praying for him now. The last night when I looked at it, with nobody on there, but now I put up a prayer, and a lot of people are praying for him now. And now, because that little boy didn't deserve what happened to him, you know. And I mean, somebody seen, you know. His mama got to see. She was in the house. She had to be in the house. And that child crying out. That child crying out for all the stuff that's happening to him, you know. And I mean, for him to take a cigarette and burn that little boy on his little bitty penis and on his testicles and between his toes, you know that child is screaming out. How satanic and sadistic is that man or woman that did it to him? It could be a woman, too, that doing to that child. You know what I'm saying? It's satanic, sadistic that you would do something like that to a child, to anybody. And then they say he got brain fractures, so a piece of his skull is out. So they have to mix up some type of solution to put back in there to get his skull to grow. Man, I tell you, I mean, if that was my child or my grandchild, I would be charged for murder. I tell you the truth. I would be charged for murder. Because I couldn't see me just saying, well, okay, I'm going to let the courts deal with it. But this is how the wickedness that's in the world that's going on. We have to pray, keep them in prayer, and I pray that God give them a miracle for that little boy. Really do. Now the line is open. Thank you so much, Evangelist. Thank you.
Praise the Lord, God bless you, Pastor Calendar. It's good to hear Van DeShiel on the line. Van DeShiel, I was trying to send you something, but I don't know if you changed your number or not, but can you text me your number when you get a chance? I want to say Merry Christmas to everybody and a Happy New Year. God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. Like you said, Pastor, people doing so many mean things down around here. So sad. 22-year-old month. These young people are dying like crazy down here in Georgia, 12 and 13 years old and shooting. It's sad. It's praying time, but I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for being alive. I thank God for what he's doing, Pastor. We don't see what he's doing, but God's working behind the scenes. He brought us from January to the end of December. And a lot of people that were here last year, they're not even here this year, so we're blessed. I just thank God for all that he's going to do for us. All we have to do is keep praying and believing and receiving. He's going to take care of us. Hallelujah. Thank God for Pastor Washington and her husband and Pastor Ronnie Stewart and all those that make up this prayer line and Pastor Campbell and just praying for people because we don't know, but we do know this. Jesus has our back. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Deacon Fraser, we just have to keep on running the race except before us, knowing that it ain't over till God says it's over. And we just got to trust God each and every day of our lives. There's nobody else to trust. Where this world is turning their back on God, and that's why stuff is happening. How dare somebody do that to a 22-year-old month baby or even a month-old baby? Or
22 months.
Just doing
22 months.
It's awful. 22 months.
22 months.
Sad. Baby don't even know nothing. Know nothing. The baby didn't get a chance. We've got people are so wicked, Pastor. They're so wicked, wicked. Just doing all kinds of stuff. It doesn't make sense. They're going to get whoever
my
get it here is going to pay, for that. So we, the people of God, got to keep on praying. We can't stop praying. We got to keep on praying and believe that God is going to do something. He's doing something now. He's working it. He see the wicked people down here. He see the devil trying to on a rampage. But he also see the righteous people down here praying. The prayers of the righteous avail much. So we're praying that God would continue to bless us and keep us And two, he calls us home to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thank God Pastor Brown's going to have a birthday on Monday, Pastor.
Happy birthday. Early.
Yeah,
early happy birthday.
I told him, I said you're getting to be an old man. He talking about watch it. Yeah.
But just thank the Lord, you just get a larger number, that's all.
You got a larger number behind your name. Right. So we just thank God. I'm just happy to know that God's on the throne. I'm happy to know that he knows all about us. Our hear and our hear his number. He knows everything. And all we got to do is put our trust in him, and he's going to make everything all right. So with that being said, I want you all just to continue to pray for the Browns. We continue to pray for you, and we continue to pray for one another that, you know, each time the year goes up, people die before the new year, and when the new year comes, they do die. My son-in-law was in a car accident the other week up here, down here on 285, 8-cow Pala, and he walked away with scratches. No scratches, Pastor.
Wow.
God is great. He walked away with no injuries.
My God.
I thank the Lord. He's a police officer.
God is good.
My God.
Yeah.
The truck hit him. My God. Thank God.
Thank God for that.
Yeah. I could have been another way, so I praise God. And it's just so much stuff, and it's so cold down here. I don't know if it's cold up there, Pastor, but it's 5 below down here. It's freezing down here.
Yeah.
In Georgia, they're putting Arctic cold, but we just have to thank God that we're in a warm house and we're not sleeping outside. There's the homeless people. I pray for them people that they don't be freezing up down there. They said bring your pets in. If you got pets, bring them in. You go out, you get frostbite, you have to dress warm because it's just cold. It's just freezing cold. And you can't stay out there.
Yeah.
I know people love spending money.
Yeah.
But they better thank God that Jesus is the reason for the season.
Yeah.
It's all right to love, and we need to love. We don't have to wait until the end of the year to give somebody a gift. And if you don't have nothing to give them love, tell them about Jesus. That's the whole thing you can do. We shouldn't feel stressed out because we can't buy this and we can't buy that. We just got to thank God for life, health, and strength. Thank God for that.
That's right.
Because without that, we don't have nothing. A lot of people have all this stuff underneath the tree,
exactly. And
they're not happy.
Yeah.
They're committing suicide. Look at that young man that's committing suicide on Ellen Jenner's show, 40 years old. Why did he take his life? Committing suicide.
Right.
Left the wife and children behind. Come on. Sad. Blow your mind.
Right.
He had money.
Yeah, that's it.
Here we are,
that's
thanking
right.
God for life, health, and strength. He had money. He's choosing
happy.
That's
right.
So we just got to thank God, Deacon. I'm just happy to be alive. And I know
he had
you
money,
all
but he didn't have Jesus. He had money, but
he didn't
have
Jesus. That's important. That's right. That's what they messed up for.
I know. You have money,
you
have
but
whole
world,
Jesus, you
give me
broke.
Jesus. Don't have
you
Jesus.
Are broke.
Broke. So I'd rather have a little and have Jesus than have a whole lot to go to hell. Thank the Lord.
Yeah, that's
right. Praise God. Praise God.
That's the truth. So, that's it.
I just thank the Lord for you all. Continue to do what we know how to do for the Lord. And maybe, and we know that 2023, those of us that will continue to go through, to get through, because he's going to bring us through. That's the 2023 year is going to bring blessings and miracles and more blessings and miracles that we could tell somebody about this great Jesus that we're serving. It's not a myth. He saves, he delivers, and he sets the captives free. Why? Because he set us free, Apostle. And if he can do it for us, he can do it for others. Whosoever will, let him come. God bless you. We love you today. God bless.
Love you more. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Evangelist Pastor. Man, I enjoy all them posts he be sending me when he be cutting up.
Yeah, he's cutting up.
Tell him have a happy birthday. Enjoy himself. Do something that he haven't done before. Just enjoy himself. You know, because the thing that the world is turning very terrible now, and we have to enjoy every single day. Every single day. You see, your boy, that fellow over there, by you, Jamal Bryant, now he wants to sell dope from the church.
You know, Are you serious?
Yeah, you don't watch the news? You don't watch the news? You know Bishop, Bishop, what's your name from Georgia too? What's his name, Bishop, Man, he's cutting up Jamal Bryant. He's a powerful man of God over there in Georgia. Got a big church over there. He tore up Beyonce when Beyonce talking about the devil and all this stuff. Now he talking about Jamal Bryant said they got the most land. A church that Bishop Long lives, they bought so much land. And he is saying now it's on YouTube, all over YouTube. And say he called a lot of preachers are hitting him for that stuff, you know. Man, and the bishop said, why can't he say, well, let's buy some seed and let's plant seed, because Bishop Patrick Wooden, senior pastor out of Georgia, he is talking with Jamal Bryant. Jamal Bryant is losing his mind. He is telling the people, he called his people together. He wants to, he said, we got so much land. We should be planting, what they call the reefer. They call the reefer another name. He said we should be planting weed and selling weed, because that's the biggest money-making stuff they got now is weed. Everywhere you look, they got a dispensary to sell weed. So he said that that's what he wanted the church to do. So they're cutting them up, man. A lot of preachers, a lot of big preachers are cutting them up, you know. You know, the devil is very, very smart. And that's why when you're walking this walk, you have to walk with Jesus. Don't walk by yourself. Because if you walk with yourself and you think you're going to walk without Jesus, the devil will slip a monkey wrench on you. Because guess what? We are flesh and blood. Every single one of us. We are subject to fall if we don't walk with Jesus. I'm telling you the truth. I ain't going to lie to you. Because what the devil sure preaches, and a lot of preachers are messing up. You know why they're messing up? The devil's showing them their millions. Their millions. I was watching this man called Tupac. He died. He got killed. Tupac said before he reached his time, he says, Satan has come to him seven times. Seven different times. He wrote this. He made a video of that stuff before he got killed. Said that he had an encounter with Satan seven different times. When they give in to Satan to get rich, you know, they sell something that don't belong to them, because Jesus paid the price for each and every soul. The soul don't belong to man. They sell their body to Satan, not their soul. Because, you know, people, we say that because we hear the old folks saying before, oh, they sell their soul to the devil. You can't sell your soul. Your soul don't belong to you. Your soul belongs to God. But they sold their flesh, they sell their flesh to the devil so the devil can do whatever he want with them. But your soul, man can sell his soul. No man can sell his soul. You sell your flesh, because the Bible says, God said in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, he said, all souls are mine. He said, the soul of the Father and the soul of the Son is mine. So nobody can sell their soul. You can sell your flesh, which means now the devil have control of your flesh. You know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, but you can't sell your soul. But a lot of people are doing that because they want that $1 billion. They want that million dollars. I don't care nothing about it. If I get it, I get it. But and if I get it, I'm going to spend it on the Lord. You know what I'm saying? But I am not going to go there and tell nobody I'm going to start doing this and doing that because I'm going to get all this money. I'm going to get all this money. No, I'm not going to do it, Thomas. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You know, God says, God didn't promise that he's going to make you rich. God says in his word, he said, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health. And then he said, even as your soul prosper, contingency. And then he says, I will supply all your needs according to your riches and glory. He said, all your needs. I don't need for anything. I don't lack for anything. All of my needs are, my refrigerator, my freezer is packed. I'm not boasting. It's packed. I ain't got no room in the refrigerator. You know, God take care of my needs. And then he said, the blessings of the Lord make it rich and he add no sorrows to it. So if you get riches and you got to worry, you can't go to sleep.
Thank you, Lord.
It didn't come
Thank
from
you.
The Lord. It didn't come from the Lord.
Yeah.
So I don't want nothing that's going to have me worrying every night. I got away with somebody going to come to kill me.
That ain't your
Holy Ghost. Like I don't want nothing like that. Then I'm happy.
Yeah, that's it.
I went over
there. Yeah, that's it.
Next
yeah.
time I leave here, I go.
Yeah.
I go to, in less than a half an hour. I go make $400 and come back home. I said, Lord, I thank you.
Right.
Yeah. I went out. I make $650 in 2 hours. And the boy that was in there gave $250. I give him $250.
Thank
you. I said, yeah,
thank you. Thank you.
You were listening.
Glory to God.
I got 400. He got 250.
Yeah.
You gotta bless God for that stuff. You know, it's not about money. It's about souls. You sure?
That's right.
That man told me, "Man,
soul.
He looks like Pastor says."
It's about all about souls. Yeah, that's
with me and my wife. He said, "You pray with me and my wife. You don't know how good we feel." He said, "Look, I feel like giving up." He said, "This is the man that got money. He working. He working in the union for up 2 years. He got plenty of money saved." But he walked out of church. He was hurt by the church and would not enter another church building. The pastor talked about his wife and the talk about him because they were making too many babies. And the pastor preached about him and hurt him. He knew he was talking about him and never been back to the church and walked away from God. And now God is drawing him back to him. And he called me, he and his wife, and the children. We on the phone. We having a conference call in prayer, talking to God for them. You know, this is what it's all about. When you win souls, the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise, not he that get rich. People think it's about money. God did not say, I'm calling you to be a pastor, to be an evangelist, a preacher, teacher, till you get rich. He said, I call you for
That's
you to go and win. So when he called the apostles, called the disciples, said, come on, follow me, and I'll make
that's
you
it.
Fishers of men. They wasn't poor. Let me tell you, Peter was not a poor man. Peter was a businessman. He had boats. Was catching fish. So Peter wasn't poor. They had several ships, several boats to catch fish. So they were making money. And he said, look, follow me. And they leave everything. Matthew was a tax collector. He was getting a good pay. And leave everything and follow Jesus to win souls. But we think it's about making money. Man, if you get a little bit, if God bless you with somebody say, well, let me just show $1,000, $2,000 in your life because you bless them with praying for them. And they got here. He said, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the blessing. But it's not about that. Don't let it be about the $2,000, $1,000, $50,
that's right.
Or $100 somebody give to you. Say, I thank you.
That's right.
I thank you, Lord.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord. Because you're winning souls, man. You know what? In the book we read this morning, in the book of Luke, he told the disciples, he said, look, the disciples told Jesus to come to Jesus and told Jesus, look, he said, you know, even the demons obey us. He said, we heal the sick and we cast out devils. And then he said, even the devils obey us. And Jesus said, don't boast about the devils that you cast out of healing nobody. He said, but boast. If you're going to rejoice, rejoice that your name are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Powerful scripture. You hear what I'm saying? He said, if you're going to boast that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't boast about how much stuff you've done here on earth and how people bow down. Don't boast about that stuff. That's just mediocre. When you win souls, Lord, I thank you that you give me the words to preach to this man that he can come to know you. Because he's the one that saved, not me, not you. See, here he's talking here to Jamal, Pastor Jamal Brent and Bishop Patrick Wooden. You should know him, though. He's a big pastor, man. He's a big pastor, man. A very prolific preacher, man. He's a Holy Ghost throw-down sin. He's a sin fighter. He's a fire brimstone preacher, Pastor Wooden. Yeah, so he be cutting up on all them people that living a double life and stuff. He don't play. He says he's all about holiness. He says holiness. He says not. He tell you straight up. It's not about money. He says because you can get all the money and still go to hell. He tell you straight up. You can get all the money and go to hell. He got cannabis. What he talking about? Yeah. He got it. He got the leaf up on the page there between him and Jamal Brandt. He says they want to plant cannabis. That's marijuana. Cannabis. You know. Right there. You go on YouTube. Go on YouTube. I run this Sheila, you know you hold the YouTube. Go on YouTube and put it in. You said 49, Jamal Burke.
Apostle,
yes,
I saw it. I was evangelist meant sent it to me. I was disturbed, and I talked to Apostle Grant about it. I was told I'm supposed to be praying for him anyway. You know, his parents are my former pastor's best friends. The Reverend Cecilia Bryan and Bishop John Bryan were the former pastors of St. Paul AME Church in Cambridge. But while they were in college, they introduced my pastor while he was in med school to his wife while she was at BU. And they go way back. And I didn't know about I got exposed to Jamal Bryan when I was told by my pastor in Cleveland to go look up Bishop Morton's churches, and I was at Beacon Light, and Reverend Jamal Bryan came and ministered, and he was married at that time. What I do like about him is he's radical, but right now I can't even see what he's talking about because he's saying, I heard him say it. I didn't listen to everything in its entirety, but out of his own mouth, he's saying this is a way to bring people in. Like, we do have people that are unchurched. I'm just paraphrasing, that are unchurched, and they're into drugs. As a matter of fact, when I was working at this store, they buy so much equipment, those who grow weed, but crime has increased because of it. I mean, a lot of people use it. I think someone we know used it because she got really sick, and the way they form it now, it helped her with her pain and nausea. So I personally don't have issues with it when it comes to people that are terminally ill, but to bring it to the church on church ground, no, because the church, it's a sacred place, and I ain't been a holy roller all my life. But what I'm saying is, if we cannot go to a sacred place, to a standard where God will not bow to the ways of man, where can we go? And that is what he's supposed to represent. And I'm glad people are on his case. But also, we got to pray for him because I can't even believe his parents would agree with it. You know, but like someone said, he's a grown man. But we got to pray for him because I can't even
believe it. Well, we're praying for him. But you know what you were saying? I didn't hear that part, but he's going to bring it because people will come to the church. The Bible didn't say that we're going to draw nobody to him. Nobody. The Bible didn't say that we're going to draw nobody to him. He tells us straight in the word, no one can come to him except the Father draw them.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah.
What we have to do, and I'm not knocking Jamal Bryan or no preacher, you know what I'm saying? Because as I said in this message this morning, we all have faults. The Bible said we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we are only a minute away from falling into sin. Just a minute away from falling into sin. All of us. I don't care how good you are. We are just a minute away from falling into sin. Because that's how subtle Satan is.
Because
I always think back to the Garden of Eden, how the Bible said Jesus, God walked in the cool of the day and talked with Adam. And Adam and Eve still sinned. I mean, they were with him. He talked with them in the cool. So what you say about us, we just reading the book. We just studying the book and hearing him by the Spirit. They heard the audible voice of God talking to them in the garden and still sin. So we are just a minute away from sinning. That's why we got to stay abreast of God. God's leading all the time.
Yeah.
Say, but we bring it to the church and we're going to draw people. No, you can't draw nobody. You know what you're going to do? You're going to draw people coming in there, and people are going to get killed because people are going to come in there thinking that the church have plenty of money in the church on site.
Amen.
Come in there with They're going to come in there with guns, and they're going to kill people.
They're
going to come
killing
to rob the church. Listen what I'm telling you. Everything you're doing that you think you're doing, that stuff, they're going to come in there with guns, because where do you see that money? Where do you think that every dispensary, that dispensing this weed, they have two or three security guards, police officers working on that job? I got one down here down the street from us. And you go by, there's two police there with 9mm on their side, big, big guns on their side. Because they know that the money's moving in that place.
Yeah.
Once you do that thing in the church, the money going to come to the church. They're going to come, and people going to come in there to rob the church. And people going to get killed. Sorry to say.
I wish you could write that letter to them to think about it, because Apostle, one man was just sentenced to life in prison because he murdered someone over marijuana. And people have been
coming
up here. See, these police don't play. People have been coming up here because they've been growing marijuana up in the north. But I remember, Apostle, and that I used to listen to something on the radio. This man is 90 years old, 80-something years old. Before they made it legal, he was talking about how it would bring havoc to the environment. And because marijuana demands so much water. See, he's thinking about the money, but the demand on marijuana. And Apostle, they would buy a whole, you know, the ties to tie the vine or whatever they tie in, they don't need like 100. They need as many boxes as you have in stock, hundreds, just to maintain this stuff. And you're right, it will increase crime, big time. Big time, because they will murder you over this stuff. Because you said it, the money.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
And you know, Apostle, when the Lord, this came to me because Apostle LeGrand said this, that Satan would fool the very elect. Because, like you said,
that's the word of God. That's the word of God.
But you said, you said, the devil is so cunning. And he comes so many ways. It happened to me. I was stupid. I'm going to tell you, I was stupid. I was stupid. I did not trust God, meaning that I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to live by the principle of God. I'm not supposed to believe nothing the world says or Satan says through the world, but I'd fall for the stupid stuff to find out. Thank God for grace. And you know, Apostle, when I was in stuff, them scriptures came to me, and if I look for them, I can't even find them. Scriptures were finding me where I was telling me about some things. And then Hebrews is good at it. If God destroyed the angels for disobedience, what more will he do? That scares me. And so, you know, this world, and this world ain't even worth all that.
But
it makes it appear that it is.
Yep. A lot of
they're
people,
lying to us.
They cling to this world stuff, and now this world is fading so fast, and what they're trying to do to the world, you know, God's Spirit is going to show up. Those that are his, he's going to draw out of this world. You hear? He's going to draw those that are his out of this world. Because I hear Deacon Freda say something that really catches me all the time. God is not playing.
Mm-hmm.
God
mm-hmm.
is not a plaything.
Yeah.
You know, and I take that from him, you know, and he drops that in my spirit. God is not a plaything. And folk are playing with God, and let me tell you something. God going to catch a lot of people. A lot of people going to get surprised because they think they're going to get away with the foolishness. God is not playing. God is not playing. I hear one preacher say he don't want to be on the other side of an angry God. You know, I don't want to get on his side, the angry side of a God. You know, when God will give you a lot of chances. He'll give you a lot of chances, but when them chances run out, you're going to experience his wrath. You're going to experience his wrath, you know, and he let you go so long. He let you go so long. He give you a lot of chances. But after that, it's all over. You know, this is why we have to repent. And we got to ask God to strengthen us in the areas that we have fallen short. And then walk in the light. Walk in the light. I've had, since I've been in ministry, so much things try to pull me apart. I mean, almost had me too. I tell the truth. Almost had me. But I thank God. I thank God for Jesus. Jesus said, no, son, you can't go over here. You can't do that. And I'm still standing. Well, that's what it's all about. But we got to pray for Jamal. We got to pray for Jamal Brandt. Pray for him that he would snap back in. Because he's a good preacher. I tell you, I have a preacher, man. He preached. Oh, he know how to preach that word. He know how to put that word together. He is a fireball. He's a fireball. But the Bible makes it very clear, you know. Very, very clear. You cannot serve God and mammon. When you become greedy, that demon of greed will take you over. You know, we have to learn. Paul give us an example in Corinthians. He says, I learned how to be abound and I learned how to be abased. See, I know you got to learn how to be comfortable with where you are and where you could be. You know, people say, I just got this amount. I'm satisfied. You know, every time God blesses us, he blesses the orphans, he blesses the widows. You know, we ain't trying to raise up, because you see what's going to happen now? The government getting ready to seize people's bank accounts. And people going to get so mad. They're going to get so mad. I'm telling you something. They're going to get so mad. They're seizing people's bank accounts and seizing people's 401k. I'm telling you, people going to get mad. Because you're not going to own anything of your own. This is what they're trying to do right now. Whatever you thought was yours belongs to the government. And it's sad. But this is what the people wanted. So, you know, like when the people talked about, I read the scripture from in 1 Samuel, when Samuel and got mad and told Samuel they want a king. And Samuel had to go to God and ask God, said, look, these people want a king. They didn't want God to rule over them anymore. And God told Samuel, give them a king. He gave them Saul. He chose Saul. And when the stuff started coming down on them, they were mad with Saul. They wanted to stone Saul, causing Saul to reject God, you know, causing him to reject God, causing him to disobey God. And when he disobeyed God, what happened? He lost his kingdom. God removed him from being king over Israel. Because the people would do that to you. They'll do it to you. So either way, the line open. Anyone wants to come on and share something? If not, we'll ask one of you guys on the phone to pray us out. And we will be back tomorrow afternoon. Apostle Washington going to bring the word to Moshe and Bishop. Pray for Bishop. He's having some problems with one of his eyes. We're having a lot of pressure on one of the eyes. And they had to do some stuff with his eye. He got to go back again. Go back. He's got to try to get the pressure down. The pressure is actually too high, super high. So keep him in prayer.
Apostle, can I ask you a question? And you may not want
to answer
the phone. What is your insight into Zelensky coming here and the money that is being given to the Ukraine and this commitment we have towards Ukraine? I'm not against it. You may not want to talk about
it. I can answer that, because my answer may not be in agreement with you, but I'm going to tell you that I'm truly not in agreement with them sending the taxpayers' money to the Ukraine, because the people are not getting any benefits from the money.
Yeah,
it's not doing anything for the people, okay? Plus, a lot of African people, they are being suffering. They're being abused by the Ukraine government, black people, okay? You don't hear a lot about it on the news, and this fake news that we got, you don't hear a lot about it. But if you go on YouTube, you will hear on YouTube from the local people, that the people that making movies from there to send to YouTube, they are abusing the African-American people, the African people. They're being abused. So why would I be in agreement for them? And then the, all these billions of dollars that we are sending there to help, supposedly help them. You know, they caught one lady was leaving, one of the officials from Ukraine was leaving with millions of dollars in a couple of suitcases, packed with the United States money, millions of dollars.
You know, I made a mistake. You said it was his wife, but it's not his wife. It's just one of the officials. Okay. All right.
One of the officials. So they are. They have, we send them billions over, I think it was 80-something million, that billion dollars they sent over there right now. And they're getting ready to send another billion point something dollars over there. We have a border open that is bringing all of these doggone criminals into the nation. If you can send all of these billions of dollars to Ukraine, why not take care of this nation first? You know, why not take care of this nation first? We got everybody coming to this country. Sooner or later, they're going to take up a plane or planes or blow up a building in this country. God forbid, but sooner or later, it's going to happen. Because you've got all these people coming in here because these folks supposed to be Democrats. I don't care about Democrats or Republicans. You know, they both send me letters all the time to send them money. Democrats, I don't send them nothing. I'm saying because all of them got more, they have more money than they have. But while we say, we're sending money to the Ukraine, but we got a border open with millions of people coming to this country, and we're not vetting them. We don't know who they are, where they come from. They arrested 86 terrorists, supposedly on the watch list. But how many got passed? They got 86 terrorists that was on the watch list that they caught, that they got now locked up. But how many got passed? That's the point. How many got passed? You see what I'm saying? If we close our border up, fix our border, if we got all of these people on the streets, living on the streets, homeless people on the streets, women and men, women with children, homeless women with children, sleeping in vans and cars, abandoned cars and bus. Why can't we build, let's build homes for them, all this money that we got that we can send to this country, all the stuff we send to Iran and Iraq and all these different places. Why can't we build up our own nation? Like the Bible said, take care of your home first, then take care of anybody outside. But you're leaving your home undone and you want to fix somebody's home. It don't make sense. I don't care what nobody says. It just don't make sense. We are undone. We are open to the world now. And we're trying to fix the people outside. It just don't make sense, Evangelist. Somebody go pray, close us out. Somebody go pray and close us out. Thank you so much. Don't forget Deacon Fraser on tonight. Hey, did I answer you, Evangelist Sheila? Talking, but I guess my phone was on mute. But what I said is that I was not in agreement with that, Sheila, because we send a lot of money to them, where we have our country is undone, our borders are undone, and we have all of these terrorists coming. They got 86 terrorists that they arrested at the border that they have on the find on the watch list. But that doesn't matter how many that got past the border and got over at that in the country right now. And then we have all of these people that here that's coming in here that we are putting up in hotels and motels for hundreds of dollars a night in the best hotels. We got all of these homeless people, thousands upon thousands of homeless people all over this country that we're not taking care of. It just don't make sense. All that money that we send to Ukraine, we can fix our border. We can secure our border so that the border officers can control and monitor whatever go on around the border. We got tunnels that coming in from Mexico into this United States. Spend some of that money to block them tunnels up. All this stuff can be done. You know.
Well,
a lot of stuff. We got to take care of our own first. See, the Bible tells us that. Just like people are trying to fix God's house, and they got their house in a shambles. Husband and wife fighting with their children, all this kind of stuff going on, and they want to fix God's house, want to come and tell people in the household to live. Don't fix your house first. God said you can't run his house when your house is on done. Fix your house first. It's the same principle. We can't fix other nations when our nation is falling apart. Our nation is falling apart. We're sliding down a deep, deep mountain on the side of the mountain, coming down fast. You know, fast. We're supporting everything that is a satanic in this nation. And we're coming against the religious rights. Everything is coming against it. Because why? This is the leadership. If leadership is going that way, this is how the country go. If the head going one way, the body follow the head. The head can't go somewhere and the body go another way. You see, a lot of stuff got to be done. Anyway, somebody come on in and pray us out. Anybody, pray us out.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory. Amen. Glory to God. Glory. Thank you, Lord. 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 Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. We ask you right now, Heavenly Father. We ask you in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for what you're doing right now, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you right now, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for this church line, Heavenly Father. But Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, you continue to use this man of God, Heavenly Father. Lord, use him, teach him, Heavenly Father, use him. You ever used them before, Heavenly Father. But we pray, Heavenly Father, we ask you continue to touch his family, continue to lift him up, oh Heavenly Father, continue to lift him up, Heavenly Father. But Lord, we praise you and we thank you and we honor you, Heavenly Father. When we pray, Heavenly Father, we ask you to continue to lift up his son and his granddaughter, grandchildren, his cousin, his niece, father, his nephew, Heavenly Father, we ask you to lift up his lovely wife, Miss Nancy Callender. Heavenly Father, we ask you right now to continue to lift up his wife, Heavenly Father, to continue to strengthen her, growth. Heavenly Father, grace and mercy, Heavenly Father. We continue to lift it up, oh Heavenly Father. We praise you right now, Heavenly Father. But Lord, we ask you right now to continue to lift up Bishop James Washington. Heavenly Father, continue to touch every organ in his body. Lord, tend to touch his eyes, Heavenly Father, because, Lord, we pray he will see clearly on your word, Heavenly Father. Continue to heal him, Heavenly Father. Continue to touch him, Heavenly Father. We pray for right now, Heavenly Father. We ask you to continue to heal over his life, Heavenly Father. We pray to touch Bishop James Washington, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, continue to touch his lungs in his body. Continue to touch every organ in his body. Lord, to touch every air that he breathes, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, we continue to touch his ears that he will hear clearly. Heavenly Father, continue, Heavenly Father, to lift him up right now, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, for his grandchildren, Heavenly Father, granddaughter, grandson, Heavenly Father. We pray in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. We asking you right now, oh Heavenly Father. Lord, we praise you right now, oh Heavenly Father. But Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, continue to lift up Slide of Louisiana community, Heavenly Father. Continue to touch the next old neighbor, Heavenly Father. Continue to lift them up, Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're asking you in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. Lord, we praise you right now, oh Heavenly Father. And Lord, we're asking you right now in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray, oh Heavenly Father. We continue to lift, continue to touch his crown, Heavenly Father. Crown from his soul to his feet, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father. We ask you right now, continue to lift up his lovely wife, Apostle Linda Washington, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray for her family. And Lord, we pray much for her two sons and her daughter, Heavenly Father. We praise and we honor you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. Lord, I ask you right now, Heavenly Father. We ask you to continue to lift her son-in-law. Continue to touch her home. Continue to touch community, Heavenly Father. Lord, continue to touch, heal, Heavenly Father. Heal, touch her eyes, touch her lips. Continue to touch her lungs and her body. Lord, continue to lift her up, crown her from her soul to her feet, Heavenly Father. We ask you right now, continue to lift her up, Heavenly Father. Lord, we lift up the doors and on Travis, Grace and Mercy, Heavenly Father. Continue to lift up Apostle Stewart and Pastor George Stewart, Heavenly Father. Lord, wherever they might go and be, Heavenly Father. Continue to lift them up, Heavenly Father. We pray for the Stewart family. Lord, we ask you to continue to lift them up, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to lift up Evangelist Brown, Pastor Brown, Heavenly Father. Continue to bless many more birthdays to come, Heavenly Father. Lord, continue to bless him to see, that he would see another birthday, Heavenly Father. We pray for him, Heavenly Father. We pray continue to use the woman and man of God, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to continue to strengthen the Brown, Evangelist Brown, daughter and her sister, and her daughter and her son, cousin, niece, uncle, nephew. Heavenly Father, we praise you in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. We ask you to lift up Pastor Millie Jefferson, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, that she would, her sister, Heavenly Father, we bind up that breast cancer. We bind it up right now. We bind up out of her body. We bind up right now. We put in the pit of hell right now. Where he got to go. We lift up her daughter. We lift up her son-in-law, daughter, cousin, Heavenly Father. Continue to lift up in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you right now, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to continue to lift up those on the streets. Those that's on drugs, those that's on prostitution, Heavenly. We bind up the say-say, Mary. We bind it up and put it in the pit on the sun and put up hell right now. We bind it up right now, Heavenly Father. We ask you to continue to touch the vice president, touch his mind. Continue to touch him, oh Heavenly Father. Continue to touch him right now, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to lift up the Democrat and Republican. Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father. Lord, only you in control of the White House. You control of the White House, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, only you select who will come and be the President of the United States, Heavenly Father. Only you, Heavenly Father. Lord, only you, Heavenly Father. It was it was about you, Heavenly Father. Only you, those who were chosen who to be the next President of Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father. It's not about them, but Lord, it's all about you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray not about the Democrat, not about the Republican or no one. Lord, it's about you, Heavenly Father. But Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father. We asking you right now, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to continue to lift up the Supreme Court Justice officers, Heavenly Father, the police officers, Heavenly Father. We pray for the hospitals, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray for the doctors. We lift up the lawyers, Heavenly Father. Lord, we lift up the secretary. Lord, lift up the treasurer. Lord, we ask you to continue to touch every home, touch our eyes. And we, Heavenly Father, we are underneath. And with the head, or not the tail. We're above and not underneath. You said in the book of Deuteronomy, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we praise you in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. Lord, you said when two or three are gathered, Lord, you in the midst. Lord, it's all about your will. Lord, you said in the book of Matthew. Heavenly Father, chapter 18, verse 20. Heavenly Father, but Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just thank you, Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that, Lord, we actually lift up the Reeves family, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray for Pastor Vix and her family. Lord, we ask you right now, Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father. Lord, we actually lift up the Vander Sheila and her family. Lord, continue to lift up her sister and her brother, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to continue to lift up a mother, grand, Heavenly Father. But Lord, while she always faithful, she always faithful, she comes to this church line. She always comes every line that she go to, Heavenly Father. But Lord, continue to give her wisdom. Lord, continue to touch the woman, God. And Lord, we ask you to continue to touch her grandchildren, her son, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray continue to talk to us, her son of her grandson, of LaShawn. We pray, Heavenly Father, we Lord, we pray continue to talk to her grandson, continue to give you talk to him, Heavenly Father. Let him know, Heavenly Father. Lord, we know, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we praise you in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you, Heavenly Father. Lord, continue to touch those children, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray for those that the young people that's on drugs, Heavenly Father. The young people's on drugs. The young people be molested. Young people be abusive, like wife husband be abusive. abusive relationship. We ask you to tell us to stop this. What's going on all over in the houses? Nothing but abusive and everything. Oh Heavenly Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, we attend to touch them. Oh Heavenly Father, but Lord, oh, I pray, Heavenly Father, we ask you to attend to lift them up, Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, and Lord, I ask you, oh Heavenly Father, and oh Heavenly Father, we ask you to attend to touch those on continue to travel grace and mercy, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we ask in your Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray, look at all prayer lines ministry. Lord, we pray that you are controlling these ministries, these prayer line ministry. Lord, pray for those, Heavenly Father, to tend to use them, Heavenly Father. Lord, let them know that you in control. Not them, but Lord, it's you, Heavenly Father. Continue to use them, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, we ask you to lift them up. We bind up their arrogance. We bind up their bitterness, their animosity, and jealousy. Jealousy, haters, hate on one another, mad ones that can't stand one another. We ask you to bind them up. We ask you right now, oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, let them know, Heavenly Father, Lord, you was a jealous God, Heavenly Father. And you said in the book of Exodus, Heavenly Father, and Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, and Lord, we pray for those, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, that those, Heavenly Father, we ask you to lift them up, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we pray that touch those souls out there, Heavenly Father. Lord, let them know, Heavenly Father, it's not about having cars, not how many houses you got, cars you got, no many mansions you got, not how many trucks you got, not of those big Mercedes cars. It's not about that. He want our heart, our soul. He want our heart and souls. We pray, Heavenly Father. But Lord, we ask you to attend to touch, tell them, Heavenly Father. But Lord, we pray. But Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, continue to touch them, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we ask you to continue to lift up Providence Church and her son, Heavenly Father. Milton Jones, Heavenly Father, on travel, grace, and mercy, Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, for Evander Lula and her family. Lord, we ask you to attend to lift up Evander Lula and her family. Lord, we ask you to attend to lift up Providence Jackie, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to attend to lift up Bishop Glenda Coleman and her daughter, Heavenly Father, Desiree. Lord, we pray for Deacon Taylor, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, for minister, for Evangelist Curtis. Lord, we pray for Apostle LeGrand and her family. Lord, continue to lift up church and our family. Lord, we ask you to continue to lift up Heavenly Father for Evangelist Washington and Ella Washington. Lord, we lift up Bishop Hill, Heavenly Father. Continue to lift up Minister Jones, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, lift up Mother Jones, Heavenly Father. Continue to lift up Evangelist Credit, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to continue to lift up Heavenly Father, for Vandy Mint, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray for Vandy's Green, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask Vandy's Right, Heavenly Father. Lord, we lift up the those that come to church and our family. Lord, we lift up Apostle Miles, Victoria Miles. Lift up Providence Harrison. Lord, we ask you to continue to lift them up, oh Heavenly Father. We pray for Providence Connie, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to continue to touch them, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to lift up Minister E. Priester. Lord, we ask you to lift up Pastor Hendrick, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to continue to lift them up, oh Heavenly Father. Lord, we lift up the family, the Hampton family. Lord, lift them up, Heavenly Father. Lord, we continue to touch the Wise family. Lord, we continue to touch them, oh Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to continue to strengthen them, Heavenly Father. Lord, continue to touch their body, to touch them, Heavenly Father. Touch their home that we live, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to continue to lift them up in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we ask you right now, oh Heavenly Father. Oh God, my God, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to continue to touch them right now, oh Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we honor you, Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to continue as they travel safe, Heavenly Father, for the holiday, Heavenly Father. But Lord, only you said that's when Christ was born, oh Heavenly Father. And we praise you, oh Heavenly Father. And Lord, we asking you right now, oh Heavenly Father. And Lord, continue to lift them up, oh Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we honor you, oh Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to lift up Minister Vera and her family. Lord, I continue to lift up her sister, her brother, her mother, her husband. Lord, we pray that they'll be come close together. He would be with her. He would be with his wife, Heavenly Father. But Lord, we continue to lift up her daughter as well. Continue to lift up on her job. Keep her, strengthen her, Heavenly Father. Continue to keep her safe and warm, Heavenly Father. Continue to strengthen her body. Continue to strengthen her. Cover her with your power, your blood, Heavenly Father. Lord, that one is on trial with grace and mercy. We pray for those, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we ask you to continue to lift up Evangelist Tina Wilson, Heavenly Father, who I haven't heard in a while, Heavenly Father. Haven't heard her in a while, Heavenly Father. Lord, lift up Evangelist Darlene Campbell, Heavenly Father. Continue to touch her daughter and her son, her grandson and her granddaughter, Heavenly Father. Lift up her grandchildren, Heavenly Father. Continue to lift up travel, grace, and mercy, Heavenly Father. Lord, we praise you in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. Lord, that she will come back pretty soon, Heavenly Father. Lord, she'll come back and minister pretty soon to you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we praise you in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we ask you to continue to lift up on these jobs. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that keep them safe and warm, Heavenly Father. But Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we honor you, and we thank you, and we glorify you, and we praise you, and we thank you, oh Heavenly Father. Validate my heart, they have set in my sight, oh Lord, my strength, and my redeemer. And we praise you, and we thank you, in the name of Jesus, and we pray. Let it all say, amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Brother Deacon.
Amen.
We'll see you all on later tonight and Brother Deacon Wang tonight. God bless you all, and thank you so much for your presence here on the line today. Apostle Washington will be bringing the message tomorrow if the Lord say the same. Either way, we'll be on tomorrow if the Lord say the same.
Yeah.
God bless you all.
Yeah.
Be safe, and
yeah.
Stay warm. It's pouring down rain here, but some other places getting snow, but we're getting the rain. God bless you all. God bless.
God bless.
See you all
God
later.
Bye-bye. God bless y'all. God bless. Amen.
Amen. Bye-bye.